I'm Anna Sale, in for Leonard Lopate today. And most Americans haven't set foot on a working farm or a ranch, but in his new documentary, Farmland, Oscar-winning filmmaker James Maul takes an intimate look at the lives of young farmers and ranchers who are now responsible for running the family business. He joins us now along with one of the ranchers in the film, Brad Bella, a sixth-generation cattle rancher who runs beef cattle operations in Texas and Colorado. And I'm pleased to welcome them both to the Leonard Lopate Show. Hello.
Hello.
James, I want to ask you about your choice to make this movie. It's wonderful. It's great to meet these farmers and ranchers, but it's a little different than the other documentaries that have gotten a lot of play about the food system in the U.S., Super Size Me, Food Inc., many more in the last couple of years. What attracted you to this story of looking at who's running working family farms?
I think you said it in your intro. You mentioned that most of us have never stepped foot on a farm. And I grew up right in the middle of Los Angeles, and I had never stepped foot on a farm. So I've often wondered where, you know, you're in a supermarket and you're picking up a piece of produce, and where does this come from? And increasingly, as there are more and more hot-button topics in the world of agriculture, and we're told things like, you know, don't buy anything unless it's organic, or you're wasting your money if you're buying organic because it's too expensive. You know, these questions started to come up in my mind, but more importantly, who is behind it? You know, another thing we hear a lot is that everything we're buying now, the produce or meats, come from, you know, these factory farms and the concept of factory farms. Well, what does that look like? I want to know. And that's really what started my interest in delving into a documentary about farming.
And who's running farms today? Brad Bella, you run a cattle operation that has operations in Texas and Colorado. First,
right.
How does that work? How do you run cattle operations in two states at the same time?
Well, what we actually do, we take young calves in Texas, and it's called starting them. After they're weaned from their mothers, we start them on wheat pastures. And then as they get older and gain weight, we move them up to Colorado where they're run on native grass pastures. Now, I'm not there personally taking care of them. We have employees, family, friends in different locations who look after those cattle. In the same way, we start cattle in Texas and also leave them in Texas. You know, part of my dad's business plan is to be diverse. We run registered cows, commercial cows. We have an all-natural herd, and then we also run what's called stockers, which are calves for beef. And my dad's also involved in the feedlot industry as well.
So you mentioned your dad a couple of times in describing what you do. Tell me about your choice and your decision to stay in the family business and come back to the farm after you went to college.
You know, I really loved growing up on the ranch, and I was involved in 4-H and FFA. Those were my hobbies. I was not an athlete. I was not an actor or musician. I was an agriculturalist. And I went to college. I did 4 years at Texas Tech University. I actually did an internship in Washington, D.C., and really thought about returning there or even to Austin to work in state politics. But during 2009, we were kind of mid-recession, beginning recession, whatever you want to call it, and there weren't a lot of jobs out there. And I'm a millennial, and I thought I was worth a lot of money. And anyways, the jobs that were coming to me that were open, you know, weren't paying what I thought I was worth. So I went home and worked for less for my dad. Mm-hmm. And I just, nothing's come to me to make me want to leave. I've stepped up, and my dad and I have partnered on different cow herds, and I have some of my own cows now. I'm mostly an employee of his, I would say. But it's a great life. I'm married now, and I'll admit, moving to a small town and was an adjustment for my wife. She grew up in a community of 80,000, about an hour from us, and we don't have fast food. We have three local cafes, and they shut down at 8 p.m. You know, it's 30 minutes to the dry cleaners, 45 miles to Walmart. So it's been an adjustment for her, but it's been fun, too, as well.
It's interesting that you say you looked around, couldn't find other work, and so the job opportunity was going home to work on the farm. Because I think so much of how people who are not close to farming, how they think about family farms, they think about the 1980s and the farm crisis and Farm Aid and Willie Nelson singing for family farms. Looking at the data, almost 96% of the farms in the U.S. are family farms. a lot of the small farms that were struggling in the 80s don't exist anymore. They closed down. How's your operation going? Does it feel like it's a place that's a money-making venture these days?
You know, it's different year to year. Our biggest hurdle right now is the drought. And, you know, what's good about my dad's operation is that he's got owns and or leases ranch land in Texas, different parts of Texas, and then also in Colorado. And that's usually a very good thing because it usually rains somewhere. Right now, we think we're on the tail end of the drought. We hope we are. We're in a good position right now where if it continues to rain, we're set. But the past few years, it hasn't rained anywhere in Texas or Colorado. So that's put a bind on us. And I'd say that's definitely our biggest hurdle. And we've had to make changes, but we're getting through it. So.
One of the points the documentary makes over and over again is the crazy business plan that farmers and ranchers have, which is basically all this major capital outlay at the beginning of the season or at the beginning of when you're calving, and you have no idea the conditions on the ground while you're trying to grow this food that you're going to sell to market.
You're exactly right. You know, we buy retail and sell wholesale. We don't know what we're going to make. We don't know how much weight the calves are going to gain. We don't know how many bushels our crops are going to yield. It's you just have to wait it out and wait and see and cross your fingers and hope and pray that you're at least going to break even and hopefully make a little money to pay on a note.
What you learn, James, about the way that farmers and ranchers, you feature, Brad is just one of the six that we meet in the documentary. What did you learn about the ways that they deal with the business side of running their agricultural operations and how it's changed today in the 21st century than perhaps a few generations ago?
Yeah, being on the farms, visiting the farms, I did see how stressful it is for him, for all of the farmers from a business perspective. It is a challenge. It is a business. You know, we think of farmers, and that's their livelihood, and they just farm. You know, when we think of the red barn and the chicken and the few cows, and that's we have this picture of what a farm is, and they grow things. But it is a business as well. So seeing that side of it and seeing the stress that a lot of the farmers are under because of that and because of the markets and because of the weather and the unpredictable elements, that was a very eye-opening, interesting aspect of the whole project.
Brad, who does your bookkeeping?
My mother does most of it. She was actually a home economics major in college and taught for a few years, but you would think she was a CPA. She's very talented, and she's constantly working. There's a lot to keep up with there in our operation.
When I think of farm economics, I think of, you know, you're looking at grain prices, you're looking at feed prices. When you're a rancher, there's farm subsidies coming out of Washington. How does your mother keep track of all of those numbers and the changing politics of it?
It's tough. It's really tough. Talking specifically about regulations, they change regularly. And it is hard to know if something that was in place last year is still in place and, you know, new policies and regulations are coming into play. We have ag media, ag magazines and newspapers, and everyone in the ag media is very good about doing their part in keeping the farmers and ranchers informed. So I'm going to say we learn a lot there. We also have many organizations within agriculture, say beef specific. There's a Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. We're a member of that, and we get daily emails and updates through them. My dad is actually the Texas wheat producer president for 2 years, and so he is heavily involved in policy there on the wheat side. And you know, always on conference calls there. So he's a little, I will say he's a little bit ahead of the curve there. But then again, all Texas wheat producers have access to forums, newsletters, emails, and are constantly being updated.
So, I mean, you mentioned a few things, your father involved in organizations that another, you could also call them lobby organizations, making sure the interests of farmers and ranchers in Texas are represented in the regulations and laws that are passed. Why did you want to be involved in a documentary? Were there misconceptions about the food production that your family's involved in that you wanted to correct?
I think you could probably understand this very easily. Because for me coming to New York 2 days ago, I had preconceived notions. I've watched Law & Order SVU. And so when my wife and I were walking through Central Park yesterday, I said, hey, that kid got kidnapped over there. And, you know, that's what I thought about New York. Now I've spent a few days here. Everyone's very friendly. And it's a great city, and we've had a great time. But I wasn't sure I would. And with that, people who aren't involved in agriculture see things in the media, on the news, on the internet, that aren't the truth or aren't the whole truth. And there's a lot more than what's presented. And I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to tell my story.
Give me some examples. I mean, is it the conversation around the skepticism about food producers and whether they're doing things that are healthy for our food supply?
I'll talk specifically about humane treatment of animals or inhumane treatment of animals, however you want to phrase it. There are videos on YouTube. We can look it up right now. But I can tell you, I can look you in the eye and tell you, I've never seen it happen on our farm or on our ranch. And I don't know anyone who does treat animals that way. And I know a lot of beef producers, a whole lot. And so someone who doesn't know a producer or a farmer or rancher sees that and immediately thinks all of us are that way. And that's how all cows are treated, when that is absolutely not true at all.
And those are some videos of the slaughterhouse versus the actual ranching, which is a different process.
No, even in the ranch, on the ranch, there are videos there. And James can agree that, you know, there are bad individuals out there. There are bad apples. I'll admit that. But there are bad apples in every industry. And we're doing our part. The beef industry is doing our part. And I know pork is. And everyone is doing their best to grow and to change and, you know, to stay positive and move in the right direction.
James Maul, when you were casting the characters of farmers and ranchers that you wanted to introduce your audience to, Brad Bell, your farm has been in the family, ranch has been in the family for six generations. You also have a woman who's a first-generation farmer. She runs more of a CSA kind of operation. I think that's the kind of farm that sort of foodie urbanites think about when they think about the kind of farms they want to support. What did you want to show by bringing together a bunch of different kinds of farmers and ranchers and the sorts of what their work involved and how it differed?
I wanted the film to show as broad a picture as possible about different types of farmers. So from different regions around the country, farming different types of foods. And it was great. Yes, we have one of the farmers is a woman, which is nice, because it's predominantly a white male industry. I don't know the exact statistics, but that's what it's certainly mostly white male. So yeah, it was great. It's great that in one film I can profile a first generation farmer, a young woman who has a community supported agriculture farm. And then hear from somebody who is raising corn, GMO corn. So it's getting all different perspectives. It's not a film. I didn't set out to judge anyone. I really wanted the film to be unbiased and just to take a look at the farmers and ranchers.
And who was your intended audience? What are you trying to say with this documentary?
I'm not trying to make a statement with the documentary. I'm merely satisfying my own curiosity as a documentary filmmaker. And that's what I do. I like to go into different environments and different cultures, different people that I otherwise haven't been exposed to. And farming is one of them. And the film is really for anyone who eats. I mean, it's really for anybody who has an interest in seeing where their food comes from, because that was my genuine curiosity.
Brad, when you think about your family, you have twin children. When you think about your kids and what you hope for them, do you want them to stay ranching and in farming? Is it a tough life that you want them to move away from? How do you feel about that?
It is tough, but it is so rewarding. I'll say I want them to know where they came from, to know what their father and mother and family do. But at the same time, I want them to do what they want to do. If Ford wants to be a doctor or a dancer, or Greer wants to be, you know, an astronaut or an actor, I'm good with whatever. But I do want them to understand, you know, the sacrifices, frankly, that I have made on their behalf and will continue to make, and the sacrifices that the generations before us have made.
What's it like to get to work with your dad?
It's almost indescribable. I have an older brother and a younger sister, and they're both farming and ranching actually in New Mexico now. And so it's just he and I at home, and I'll be really honest. I enjoy every minute we have just the two of us. I'm also anxious for the day that my brother and sister and their families decide to move back home. But I'm definitely soaking in just the one-on-one time I get with my dad.
So the time when your siblings are around isn't quite as pleasant
no,
as your
no.
one-on-one time?
No, it is. And we get along great. Uh-huh. We do. But I'm the middle child, so, you know, I've got issues. And no, not really. But like I say, I enjoy just the one-on-one time with him, and I'm living it up.
And one of the things the documentary explores is the difficulty and of navigating inheritance and thinking about the future of the farm when it's a family business. You've got to encounter difficult truths about, you know, your dad's not going to be around forever. When you think about taking on the farm and running it, taking on the ranching operations, do you feel ready? Do you feel like your dad's got a lot more to teach you?
Oh, I'm never going to be done learning, whether it's from my dad or my neighbor, you know, something I read in a production magazine. I'm never going to be done learning. If it was necessary for me to take over tomorrow, I hope I'm ready. I do have uncles, friends on speed dial who I know they'd help me out. But, you know, since I've been home, I'm 27 now, I've been home 5 years. And having grown up on the operation versus the 5 years I've spent actually day to day, I've grown a lot, a whole lot. And it's just interesting there are two sides. You know, there's the childhood and the romance of being a cowboy, and then there's the pressures and the stress of the banknotes and the weather and the markets. But I'm learning to juggle, I'll say that.
I've been speaking with Brad Bella and director James Maul about the new documentary, Farmland, The Evolution of a Tradition. It opens on May 9th at Village East Cinema. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.